Praise the Lord, church. If you've been in His presence tonight, you are blessed. Amen. If you turn with me to our opening text in Jeremiah chapter 17, verse 7, I won't make you stand long. As God sets the stage for His word to go forth through His own word. Jeremiah 17 and 7. Blessed is the man that trusteth in the Lord, and whose hope is who the Lord is. Blessed. Can you say, I am blessed?
I am blessed.
I was thinking about the message you preached, Pastor, about praying the blessing of God on ourselves. And it almost feels like we're being a little bit selfish. But it's God's good pleasure. He desires to bless us. He wants to bless us. His book is filled with promises of blessing. So I ask you tonight, are you blessed? How do you know? According to Jeremiah 17, you're blessed if you simply put your trust in the Lord. Say, well, I didn't know I was blessed. Do you trust God? Yes, you are blessed. Matthew 5 and 6 says that God blesses those who have a desire to live for Him. Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. Do you desire to live a life that's pleasing to God? Do you have an appetite for the things of God that's greater than the appetite for the things of the world? If you do, then you are blessed. Psalms 1 and 1 says, blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. Blessing after blessing after blessing. The word of God is filled with innumerous blessings. There's no shortage. There's no limit. And God desires you and I to experience them, not just in the life to come, but in this life. You know, as we move into this portion of service, as we pray for the word of God to go forth, I wonder if we shouldn't enact that direction that our pastor gave us to pray a blessing on ourselves. Would you be a little selfish tonight? Would you be a little greedy for God's goodness? Would you lay your own hands on yourself? And as we pray for the word of God to go forth, would you pray God's blessing? Would you ask Him to bless you? Jesus, God, we're mindful of your desire, your love for us, your desire to bless us, God, and I'm asking for your blessing, God, for your a great blessing, a plenteous blessing, a monumental blessing, God, that your word would bless us, God, that your spirit would move in us, that there would be an impartation of blessing tonight, Lord, as truth is spoken, God, Lord, that there would be a shift in our thinking. Lord, thoughts of blessings, words of blessings. Lord, a pattern in our life that recognizes your promises are yea and amen. I ask it tonight in the name of Jesus, the name that's above every name, the name that has authority to bless. Bless your people. It's in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Well, if the first question I asked tonight was, are you blessed and how do you know? The second question is, why are you here? I know just entertain me for a moment. It might be a very obvious question, but nonetheless, why are you here? Well, you might answer, well, it's Sunday night. There's service tonight. The doors are open. I'm here. And that's a good answer. But just take a moment. What causes you to be here when the doors are open? What motivates you? What drives you? And Let's just ponder that for a moment. Things motivate us. Things drive us. We do things for a reason, right? You're not here for no reason. So what is your reason? Perhaps you thought to yourself that you know that you need to be here because this is where God can help you grow in your relationship with Him. And so maybe you're here out of love, and that's a good reason. Maybe there's a desire that you have to bring a sacrifice of praise and worship like we have tonight, and that's a good reason to come to a place where you can bring that sacrifice of praise. Perhaps you're here tonight because you recognize that there's more for you to know about what God's will is for your life through His Word, and so you're here perhaps because you want to learn or because you know from what you've learned in the Bible that there's an act of obedience in gathering ourselves together all the more. Let me tell you, the first time I came to this church, I came for no good reason at all. If I was sitting in the pews right now at that moment in time, that first service I was in, and you asked me the question, why are you here? I wouldn't have had any of these reasons I just gave. I came for the wrong reasons. I came to sit next to a pretty girl. Fortunately, God has opened that door for me to stay. So just for the record, for anyone who doesn't know, that pretty girl I'm talking about is my wife. She wasn't my wife at the time, though. And so somehow God turned even my wrong intentions or not right reasons into something good. And over the 25 years since I first walked through these doors, I've come to learn, like many of you have, that God is a rewarder of those that diligently seek Him. He wants to bless. He wants to endue goodness to us. Hebrews 11:6 says He's a rewarder of them that diligently seek them. Yeah, have you ever heard the phrase that you can use a carrot or a stick? It's a reward or a penalty. So as a parent, use this with your children. If you do this and this, then you'll get a reward. And if you don't do this and this, then you'll get a punishment, right? The carrot or the stick. God is much more into carrots than sticks in this dispensation. Now, there will come a time when He will be the righteous judge of all, but at this moment in time, He's pouring out the incentives. He wants to bless beyond what we can even comprehend. Now, if you're here, and I know our children, some of them are here tonight, if you're here and you're maybe, 10 years or younger, you might want to cover your ears just for a minute. Did you hear the news this week? McDonald's announced that they are going to phase out plastic toys from Happy Meals. Annalise, you can uncover your ears now. She, as I was talking to her and her brother on the front pew before service, she presented me with her trophy from lunch. The trophy, the reward from McDonald's that came in her Happy Meal. I imagine the news of this change, and I'm sorry if it hurts. I imagine the news of this change has caused their stock to go down because McDonald's sells over 1 billion Happy Meals every year. Soon they'll become known as not so Happy Meals. You know, the reality is that I'm not sure if they're selling food or toys. I actually quizzed the Monday children, and they kind of let me know it's all about the toys if given an option. I remember when our two children were young. I remember, and forgive me, this is before the dawn of Culver's, right? This is before you had an alternative that actually tasted like food. This is. The FDA has said it's food, so I'm sure you can trust them. When our children were young, I remember very vividly strategically having to go from McDonald's to McDonald's for different meals in order to create the best possible scenario to get all of the little trinkets and toys that were available in this series for this limited amount of time. And it's like, man, I got three of these. I'm just looking for one more of those, whatever it is. chicken nuggets didn't have it, cheeseburger didn't have it, the one on Duran didn't have it, the one over on Washington. You know what, I asked Annalise, well, how long does it take for that toy to wear off where you don't really care about it anymore? And she kind of smiled and wouldn't answer. How many of those important things suddenly found their way into the toy cabinet and then the bottom of the toy cabinet only to accumulate? Right. Don't worry, I'm sure whoever the executive who said they're going to phase out toys from Happy Meals will soon be fired and be replaced with somebody else. I wonder if McDonald's got this concept of rewards from God. Because God is a rewarder. He wants to give something valuable. The Bible assures us that God's not phasing out blessings. And that the longer we follow after him, the more we conform to his word, there's a greater blessing, a greater outpouring. James 1 and 7 tells us that every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and cometh down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. God is in the blessing business. If it's good in your life, it came from God. Every perfect thing we experience is a blessing from God. It all comes from him. Now bear with me for a minute. I'm going to state the obvious. You're here on a Sunday night, correct? So by virtue of this not being Sunday morning, it's probably safe for me to assume that you attend more than one service a week. Just saying, right? I mean, you're here, it's a Sunday night. And I understand sometimes circumstances get in the way, but given that you probably attend more than one service a week, more than Sunday mornings, I can ask you this question. Have you ever been asked, how often do you go to church? And when you share the response, have you ever gotten one of those bug-eyed looks? What, like, you go to the same place, the same church, you go there three times a week, and you go to prayer meetings once or twice a week, and there's a Bible study this Thursday night you think I would enjoy going to, and but you're not here out of duty, are you? No, you're here because he's a rewarder of those that diligently seek him. You know, there's a prize that comes with that meal. So, something that won't just end up in the drawer. Something that has eternal value. Something that you can't buy or purchase. The world looks at this life, a life committed to Jesus, as restrictive and even excessive in some cases. But they don't realize that it's a life without Christ that's restrictive. John 10 and 10 says, the thief cometh not but to steal and kill, but and to destroy. I am come that they might have life and they might have it more abundantly. He's in the increasing business, the blessing business. God's not in the takeaway business. Amen. But whatever he takes away, it's so he can exchange it for something better. Whatever he asks us to release from our lives, it's because he has something better he wants us to grab a hold of, and we can't hang on to some things all at once. This book is filled with promises, and it's the new contract, the New Testament, the old contract, the Old Testament. It's filled with contractual obligations that God has made that he didn't have to make, but he chose to make them because he wants to make them. He desires to bless us. Earlier I asked you, how do you know you're blessed or are you blessed? And I already knew the answer, because if you've taken one step towards God, you're blessed. If you've done anything big or small in obedience to the word of God, you're blessed. And then one blessing leads to another blessing that leads to another step of obedience that leads to another blessing. And so on and so on. I like to refer to this as a virtuous cycle. It feeds itself, a perpetual flow of God's blessings that lead to more blessings. Turn with me, if you would, to Deuteronomy chapter 28 and verse 1. This is that virtuous cycle, the blessings that turn into blessings, that turn into blessings, that multiply into more blessings. Deuteronomy chapter 28:1, and it shall come to pass, if thou shalt hearken diligently unto the voice of the Lord thy God, a condition, there are conditions that may need to be met. Pastor mentioned it this morning. God's love is not conditional. He loves everyone with a love that we can't even comprehend. And it doesn't vary. It doesn't go up or down. His love is consistent regardless of what we do or don't do. We cannot affect his love. His love is unconditional. But his blessings are conditional. If you will hearken and hearken diligently, not just listen, but with attention unto the voice of the Lord thy God, to observe and do all his commandments, which I have commanded thee this day, that the Lord thy God will set thee above on a high above all the nations on the earth. He wants to promote us. He wants to promote you. And all the blessings shall come on thee and overtake thee, if thou shalt hearken unto the voice of the Lord thy God. If you listen to my voice, if you become obedient to my word, then my blessings will become so numerous that they will overtake you, as if to swamp you with blessings. Verse 3, blessed shalt thou be in the city, and blessed shalt thou be in the field. Blessed shall be the fruit of thy body, or your offspring, your children, and the fruit of thy ground, the provisions will be blessed, and the fruit of thy cattle, the increase of thy kine, and the flocks of thy sheep. Blessed shall thy basket at the store, or wallet at the store. You'll be blessed in your community. You'll be blessed in your place of employment. You'll be blessed when your children are blessed. I remember for myself, when I decided to go from giving just a few dollars here and there to actually giving 10% of my income, and that somehow the same amount of income I had in that time frame would somehow go further than it used to go. In fact, yeah, I guess technically it was 10% less than it used to be. But somehow 10% less went 10% farther, or I would say more than 10% farther. And what it taught me was that in every step we take, there's a blessing. There's a blessing when you just put the dollar in. There's a blessing when you put a $100 check in. There's a blessing every time you do anything. But when you take that step into conformity with the Word of God, according to the Word of God, there's a blessing that can't be contained. Verse 6, blessed shalt thou be when thou comest in, and blessed shalt thou be when thou goest out. The Lord shall cause thy enemies that rise up against thee to be smitten or defeated before thy face. They shall come out against thee one way and flee before thee seven ways. Whatever situation that once seemed like a formidable enemy will be dispersed and diminished by a factor of seven because you're blessed. Amen. Verse 8, the Lord shall command the blessing upon thee in thy storehouses and in all that thou settest thy hand to. No matter what you do, whatever you try to put your hand to, whatever thing you try to do, if it's cleaning your house, God is going to bless you cleaning your house. If it's driving the bus for the kids that go to school, God is going to bless you driving the bus for the kids that go to school. If you learn to be a doctor to perform surgeries, God is going to bless your hands so that you can perform surgeries. Whatever you do, whatever you put your hands to, God will bless you. He shall bless thee, and in the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee, the Lord shall establish thee, a holy people unto himself, as he has sworn unto thee, if thou shalt keep the commandments of the Lord thy God and walk in his ways. Blessings after blessings after blessings. What does it mean to be blessed? It's a word that we hear a lot, but maybe it's almost so big of a word that it's hard to wrap our hands around. The word blessed here in the Old Testament was the Hebrew word barak, or meaning to kneel down or reach in an action of adoration, like when you reach down to pick up your young child and embrace them as a benefit from God to man or vice versa. We can bless God and God can bless us. But there's a notion of an action that's going on. It's in this definition of this word blessed. It says that there's a severity or a certainty, abundantly blessed, altogether blessed, greatly blessed. Blessed indeed. He pours out blessings one after another after another. You know, the blessings that come from God are so many and so numerous, and they come in so many different shapes and sizes. It is really almost an ambiguous concept, the blessings of God. It's hard to wrap our arms around them all. And sometimes our minds, when we think of blessings, we automatically go to the material things, and those are blessings. God will bless us in the things that he provides for us, in finances, and in many cases, that is one of the various areas and places in which he blesses. But if we limit the blessings of God to just those things that are material, we have missed the bigger picture that's going on. Romans 8:28 has one of those blessings. It's a blessing that isn't a new car or greater comfort, but it could be a greater comfort, saying that all things work together for good unto them that love God according to his purpose. It's a blessing to know that I can trust God's motives, that no matter what situation I'm in, it doesn't matter whether my car is broken down on the road or I'm driving it off a new one off the lot, I'm blessed. Theologians have counted some 8,000 plus promises in the Word of God. Just think about how many times God has made a statement in his Word that it contains in itself a promise. Over 8,000. Within those 8,000 promises, the Word of God speaks about blessings that take place in this world, describing promises that are to be experienced in this life, as well as promises of things to come, such as the promise that one day we'll exchange this carnal body for a glorious body fashioned after his own body. Turn into Ephesians chapter 1, verse 3. We read about this, the most important blessing. That is the blessing of salvation, the blessing to have our sins forgiven, the blessing to become heir of eternal life. In Ephesians chapter 1, verse 3, we read about one of these blessings to come in the life to come. Ephesians 1 and 3 says, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ, according as he hath chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love, having predestined us into the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will, to the praise of the glory of his grace, when he hath made us accepted in the beloved, in whom we have redemption through his blood and the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace." We are blessed. Blessed to know the name of our Savior. Blessed to know and understand what his word says is the plan of salvation. Blessed to be recipients of that great gift that we could not have earned for ourselves. And a promise of what's to come that it cannot even be comprehended. 1 Corinthians 2:9 tells us that eye hath not seen, nor ear heard, neither hath it entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared for them that love him. There's a promise and there's blessings to come that I can't comprehend. The Bible gives us just a little bit of a description about what heaven will be like and what's to come. But what's interesting is that so much of the scriptures actually are focused on the here and now, the life we live in this flesh, in this world, in this earth. So the greatest of all the blessings is the one that's to come. That is eternal life, the promise of salvation. We need to take inventory of the blessings that God has made provision for while we still have breath. If you were to start to consider of the 8,000 plus promises he has in the Word of God, the majority of those promises are for us right now. Not for us to come, but for us to partake of. And while I wouldn't want to trade eternity for any kind of additional comfort in this temporary house that we live in today, the Bible says we don't have to wait. We don't have to wait until the marriage supper of the Lamb in order to be benefactors of God's goodness and his grace and his mercy. Taste and see that the Lord is good. I mentioned earlier that God is not in the takeaway business, but he's rather in the exchange and upgrade. We read about this exchange program, if you turn with me in your Bibles, to Mark chapter 10, verse 28. set the stage here. Jesus is teaching, and his disciples are there, and he's saying, it's going to be very difficult if you're wealthy to enter in the kingdom of God, because you'll be too self-sufficient. And it's easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter into heaven. And people are like, well, I'm out of here. Thanks. I'm not interested in this kind of doctrine. And his disciples are scratching their heads and saying, how can this be? What do you mean, Lord? And here's Peter's response as this interaction takes place in Mark chapter 10, verse 28. Then Peter began to say unto him, lo, we have left all and have followed thee. We've cashed in our 401ks, we've sold our properties, we've cut all the strings we have to society as we know it, and we're just wandering wherever you go, Jesus, house to house, place to place. We've left all and have followed thee. And Jesus answered and said, verily I say unto you, or truly I say unto you, there is no man that hath left house or brethren or sisters or father or mother or wife or children or lands for my sake in the gospels, but he shall receive 100-fold now in this time. We're not talking about the life to come. We're talking about this present life. But he shall receive 100-fold now in this time houses and brethren and sisters and mothers and children and lands with persecutions, and in the world to come eternal life. Yeah, there's a promise that's the greatest of all the promises to come, but I have promises for you today, here, now, in this life. See, when you decide to let go of something that's in this world, something that you know is keeping you from taking that next step of obedience to the Word of God, whatever you let go of, God is promising to exchange it for something that is 100 times better than whatever it was that you thought you had. And he's not talking about 100 times better when you get to heaven. Right here, right now, in this present life.
Hallelujah.
In this time. If you've taken any steps of obedience, you're blessed. If you continue to take more steps of obedience, you will be blessed more. Church, God is wanting to create a shift in our minds. This is part two of this morning's message. Do you know how valuable you are? How important you are? How elevated God has put you in a place now that you've entered the kingdom, that you have his name, that you've become adopted into the family of God? And this mind shift that God is wanting to enact continues tonight, saying, do you know how blessed you are? Do you know what comes your way because of your obedience? Do you understand that you're walking in blessings every moment of every day? The Bible says that as a man thinketh, so is he. If you don't think you're highly favored, if you don't know what the Word of God promises you in terms of the blessings that God has contractually obligated himself to, well, then you're missing out on some of the benefits, the incentives. So over the next few minutes, if you'll allow me, I'd like to share with you just a few of those 8,000 plus promises that God has made in his Word. And as the Word goes forth tonight, I would encourage you to allow the blessings to be received into your thoughts and into your mind and settled in your heart, and not just for this moment, not just in the next few minutes, but could it become a thought process, an understanding, a perception of the world that we live in and everything that's around us that sees the blessings? Reading from Jeremiah 29, God promises you that he's on your side. Jeremiah 29:11 says, for I know the thoughts I think toward you, saith the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you an expected end. You know what we ought to say in response to that? I'm blessed. Would you say that tonight?
I
am blessed. You're blessed tonight because the Word of God says that you're blessed. If you've started down this path, if you've taken one step, and if you've taken one step, he's got a way to keep you on this path all the way unto eternity, unto salvation. He promises you, he's on your side. Philippians 1 and 6 says, being confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it unto the day of Jesus Christ. Can you say, I'm blessed?
Blessed.
Reading from 2 Peter chapter 1, the Bible says we have an exceeding great precious promise. It's a promise that we have a way to escape corruption in this life, a promise that God's Spirit working in us will produce God's divine nature in us while we're still alive in this earth. We can overcome this flesh, our own nature. 2 Peter 1 and 4 says, "Whereby are ye given unto us exceeding great precious promises." Well, what are these exceeding great precious promises? "That by these ye may be partakers of the divine nature." Whose nature are we talking about? The nature, God's nature. "Having escaped corruption that is in this world through lust." Are you blessed tonight? Romans chapter 8, God promises that while we are alive in this earth, he will bless us to live a life free of condemnation. Romans 1 and 8 says, "There is therefore now no condemnation in them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit." Are you blessed tonight? Blessed to live a life free of guilt and shame. Proverbs 16 and 7 says, "I am blessed with peace when my ways line up with God's ways." Proverbs 16 and 17 says, "When a man's ways please the Lord, he make even his enemies to be at peace with him." Are you blessed tonight? Malachi chapter 3, God throws down a blessing challenge. As if God ever had to prove anything, right? God doesn't have to prove anything. He's God. If he said it, it is. In this one area, though, he actually wants to go a step further than just being self-definitive. He wants to prove to us that he is God. The scripture says that if we'll recognize him as the giver of all good gifts, by simply returning 10% of whatever he gives us back to him, that he will prove to us how much he wants to bless us. So much that we won't be able to contain the blessings. Now, before we receive this blessing, before we acknowledge it, before we claim it for ourselves, I want to recognize that we're all at different places in our walk with God. I mentioned earlier, there was a time when I gave, but I didn't give in total obedience. And God blessed the dollar and the $10 and the $20, but there was something that happened when I didn't just give occasionally. When I got the calculator out, and I said, "Well, what is 10%? Oh, really? Okay, God." And before we can, as a group, acknowledge this blessing, I understand that we're all at different places, and there was a time when I couldn't claim that blessing, when I couldn't have that confidence. But as I saw the other blessings in my life start to add up, as I recognized what God was doing in me and through me and around me, it got easier and easier to say, "God, I trust you. I've seen your word come true here, and if you say this, I believe it, and I'm not just going to say I believe it, I'm going to actually do it." And so I understand there are likely some that can't yet fully claim this blessing yet, but I tell you tonight, if you'll make a commitment to God, if you'll say, "God, from this point forward, I'm going to get the calculator out," you can claim it tonight. You know what? When you come to an altar and you ask for forgiveness, you don't have to wait 24 hours for it to kick in. It's instant. And so if you're willing to take that step after we read the scripture, then you too can shout, "I am blessed." Malachi chapter 3 and 10 says, "Bring ye all the tithes into the storehouses, that there may be meat in mine house, and prove me." Prove God. Prove his willingness to bless you. "Now herewith saith the Lord of hosts," and here's how I'm going to demonstrate the proof. "Prove me that I will not," in fact he's saying, "I will open up the windows of heaven and pour out a blessing that there shall not be room enough to receive." Are you ready to receive it tonight? Can you say, "I am blessed"?
I am blessed.
Psalms 34 and 8 says, "Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man that trusteth in him." Now I can understand why those who haven't tasted, well, it would be difficult to trust. But the more you get it to experience, the easier it becomes, and the easier it becomes, the more you conform, and the more you conform, the more you experience, and it starts to feed itself. blessing after blessing after blessing after blessing. But again, I can understand for those who maybe haven't tasted yet or maybe have only sampled. It's a process at times, and God is patient. And wherever you're at in that process, I promise you, whatever the next step is you take, there will be a blessing that comes as a result of that step you take. If you've never read your Bible and you've been hearing God talk to you about reading your Bible or prompting you, and you pick up your Bible tomorrow morning after you wake up, there's a blessing that is going to come to you because you've taken a step, whatever that step is, big or small. But for those who haven't tasted, for those who haven't seen, it's like the saying goes, that beauty is in the eye of the beholder, right? It's our perspective, it's our understanding. And tonight, as the musicians come, I'd like to share a story with you that I shared once many years ago. For some of you, it may be familiar, but it was quite a time back, so for many of you, it'll be brand new. It's a story of a wealthy businessman who was traveling through the South Pacific in the 1900s. This man was traveling by boat, and it was somewhere northeast of Australia, and he was headed to purchase a piece of land adjacent to the main port on the island of the nation of Papua New Guinea. As he was traveling by sea in the middle of the night, his boat was overtaken by a terrible storm, capsized and torn apart the vessel. He escaped from his room into the hall and grabbed the one thing that mattered most, his attaché case, his briefcase that contained the money that he was going to use in order to purchase this piece of land in Papua New Guinea. As he grabbed that attaché case, floating in the swell, one arm around the case, one arm around a plank, he bobbed through the water, uncertain of what his future held. As morning came, he thought what he saw to be an island far off in the distance, so little by little he kicked his way, holding onto the plank in one hand and the briefcase in the other. By the time he finally made it to the shore, it was night. Exhausted, he collapsed on the beach. The next morning, with the sun beating down on him, he opened his eyes to see a strange-looking man squatting just a few feet from him, looking at him with a very inquisitive eye. Startled, the businessman jumped up and reached for his briefcase to secure his money. Recognizing that the man in front of him, the individual, was a native of this island, there were many islands that had yet to be touched by civilization, and this was one of them. Exhausted and dehydrated, the hungry man tried to communicate with this native, asking for water, for food, for shelter, but the native man just shook his head, uncertain, shrugged his shoulders, made some noises. Maybe it was a language, he thought. As the two men tried to communicate with hand gestures, drawing on the sand, nothing seemed to work. The businessman, so extremely frustrated, said, "Do you know how much money I have in this case? I'll trade it for some food." The native's eyes got real big. The only word he recognized that whole time suddenly came out of the native's mouth back to the businessman. "Trade?" The businessman says, "Yes, trade." Holding up the briefcase and pointing to his mouth for food, the native nodded, indicating they had a deal, and he pulled from underneath his animal skin covering a piece of dried meat and a gourd filled with fresh water and says, "Trade?" The businessman says, "Yes, trade." And with relief handed him his briefcase and received the nourishment. The exchange was made, and the businessman, as he ate and drank, the native man proceeded to walk a little ways away with his briefcase filled with money. The native then opened up the briefcase and emptied all the money out. As he turned around and looked at the businessman, he held up his trophy and said, "Good trade, good trade." You see, the money had zero value. What am I going to do with paper? Start a fire? "Oh, but you have a case." "I don't have a case like that. I have some things that I could carry in a case like that. You want to trade with me?" "Yeah, I'll trade you all of my worldly possessions. Oh, I just want the case that carries them." Tonight, do you know what is most valuable to God? Do you know what God cannot obtain except you make it available to him? I'll give you a clue. He doesn't need your money. He doesn't need your talent. your abilities, your good looks. There's nothing he can't provide for himself except one thing. That is our obedience. He gave us a free will. He can't, it wouldn't be obedience if it was not out of choice. And so as he gave us that choice, we now have a free will to decide, will we or will we not? The one thing he can't produce except we give it to him is our obedience to his word. And God is willing to make a trade with you for all the promises. 8,000 plus contractual obligations filled with blessings after blessing after blessing for one simple thing. Would you trade me your obedience for what you cannot obtain? You know, there's a song that's been ministering to me over this past year. It's been sung here before. It's titled The Blessing. It comes from Scripture in Numbers chapter 6, verse 24. Numbers 6 and 24 says, "The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee." You see, he wants to impart his own nature into you and I. He wants to bless us with a love that cannot be comprehended, with things that cannot be obtained in this world. "The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace." But the song, while it's so powerful and so poignant, they may have missed a verse that preceded the blessing. You see, this blessing was the response to people, God's people, when they consecrated themselves, when they separated themselves, when they took steps in obedience to the word of God. And the list goes on and on and on. Do this and do this. And then. Tonight, wherever you're at, it doesn't matter if you have this list of things to become obedient to, master. There's a blessing, a greater blessing for you. But if you're just getting started or somewhere in the middle, it doesn't matter. Wherever you're at, whatever step you take next, there's an incremental blessing that comes with it, because God is a rewarder. He so desperately wants to bless, but the only thing that ties his hands is our obedience. And so would you stand with me tonight? Church, we need to re-gear our thinking, our perspective, our understanding. We need to reflect on the promises of God and the blessings of God. We need to perceive what's going on around us, because God is constantly working on our behalf, constantly blessing after blessing after blessing. As the worship team sings that song for us tonight, there's an incremental blessing for you even here right now. If you've never made that commitment to God, if you've never stepped out and said, "God, I think I love you," tonight's a good night to take a step. If you've been taking steps for years and you might want to ask God, "God, what is the next step for me?" Because you know on the other end of that, whatever it is, there's a blessing and a blessing and a blessing. Would you come tonight as we open this altar? Would you come to receive a blessing? Would you allow the words sung from the scriptures to minister unto you, to resonate within you, to become a pattern of thought in your minds that wouldn't just be for this moment and this time, but that would carry on forward with a new understanding, a new perspective? I'm blessed. Would you say it one more time? I'm blessed. We're blessed. God is blessing.